ladies and gentlemen, and people of, oh, I don't know, Argentina? No, come on, why am I begging in Argentina for? They're cool. That's where all the Nazis fled to after the war. God damn it. Well, off to a great start. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and people from, no matter what I say now, it's going to sound racially insensitive after the whole Nazi thing. People, ladies and gentlemen, and cartoon characters, welcome to yet another exciting installment of Board Games. I'm your host, J. Alex Alvarez. On today's episode, we've got, once again, Mr. Kyle Hutchinson and Miss Callie Griffin, a.k.a. my surrogate parents. We are playing Seven Wonders. It is perhaps the greatest board game in the history of time. If you haven't already, I say run, don't walk, to Snakes and Lattes. Or, you know what, go to BoardGameGeek.com and do yourself a favor and get yourself a copy, because this game is truly, truly outrageous. It is out-of-sight dynamite. It's kind of an edutainment type game. You learn about various civilizations and you play as a civilization and endeavor to build one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, or the Mausoleum at Halicarnassus, the Great Pyramids of Giza, the Colossus of Rhodes, the Lighthouse of Alexandria, the other ones. Yeah, it's a fun game. It's, you know, you learn as you play. Kyle, Kelly, and I have actually played this game so many times that we've gotten to such a great pattern, this great rhythm. We know the rules and the progression and each other's play styles well enough that we don't even really need to talk at all. So instead, we had a pretty interesting talk about religion and other interesting parts of society. It was enlightening. So I hope you enjoy it. I don't really care if you don't. Thanks.
You want burritos? You can't order burritos.
She never wants burritos because she thinks that they're dirty food.
Burritos are dirty, but they're so dirty.
Not from like the actual restaurants.
They're so good and dirty. Hey, look, it's Smeagol.
Sure, no. Yeah, it's kind of a cross between it. Smeagol, Gollum. Smuggle.
So what do you think, Kyle? Was Smeagol / Gollum good or evil?
He was both. He was good cop, bad cop.
Bon cop, a split personality.
So are you held accountable for things that are done by your dissociative personality?
Or is that not your fault? Depends on what your therapist says and what the jury says.
What the judge says?
Yeah.
Well, if Primal Fear, starring Richard Gere and Edward Norton, is any measure to go by, then as long as you act crazy, you can get away with murder.
Noted.
You plead crazy. Insanity.
But the thing is, he goes away free. That's not what happens.
Yeah, you get put in a mental institution.
And it's worse
now
than jail. Because
oh, yeah,
when you go to jail,
medicated and trapped with other crazies.
Yeah,
and
there's no sense. Like, when you go to jail, there's a time. They say you'll be out in 7 years. You'll be out in 8, 9, and 5 or whatever, right? 5 to 9. 25 to life or whatever.
Yeah.
When you're sent to the mental institution, if you're found insane by the jury, they're there until they decide you're not crazy anymore.
And even then, there could be a huge uproar.
Yeah.
Like the guy who cut the head off of the guy
in the Greyhound bus.
Yeah, he's getting to go out on unsupervised
outings and that's
now,
fucking
and
crazy.
People are like,
people
whoa,
don't want that.
Are you kidding?
And so, yeah, so it's way worse to go with the insanity defense.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not innocent.
Yeah, you're definitely not innocent.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. It's not like when they find you. If you go with the plea of insanity, you're not innocent of the
and
crime.
The community will continue to judge you and think
you're still guilty of the crime. The only thing is the sentencing isn't based on criminal activity. It's based on mental health. So
you're
not sentenced to prison. You're sentenced to rehabilitation, which is what prison should be, but isn't.
But isn't. Yeah, definitely is not.
No. See, this is what conversation should be. This is the interesting stuff that we need to talk about to get on the record. Get under there.
Jesus Christ.
I hope you just fucking chucked it off.
Jesus Christ. Ha
ha. Ha ha.
Speed, I don't think she'd be in this race. Ha ha, the Mach 5 is not ready. Ha ha. It pops, I must be in this race. Ha ha.
This gets me to look through the discards, right?
That lets you...
Yes.
Is now, that, is that...
And you can build it for free.
Yeah. But when is the discards, though?
After the round.
At the end of the round?
Yeah.
Because there's no discards at the moment.
Yeah, I would wait to exercise that right.
At the end.
Oh, no, there's you get it each
round.
Yeah. So I would wait until...
But I have to exercise it at the end of the round?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the round.
And then you build it for free, and then we count points after you've pulled that card. Yes?
Something like that.
Sure.
Aussie rules. Okay, so you don't like your feet touched.
No, I just don't want fingers between my toes.
Well,
yeah,
why not?
It's
like
fingers between the toes. That
really?
Bother them, yeah.
Okay. Now,
no, because if it bothers my feet, like my feet almost cramp.
Ah.
So
yeah,
you ever get that feeling
where it feels like the bones inside your feet of your fingers are touching each other?
That one's new.
It's like a cramp in your foot, like when you go swimming after you eat. Anyways, I grabbed your feet, Kyle, just because I saw them, and I like to touch things that I see. But actually, it brings a question to mind.
Good thing my dick wasn't hanging out. I just touched things that I see.
I wish you were recording that.
I
want a copy of that. Oh, good.
It brings a question to mind, though. Where is the line between appreciation and fetish?
When you start, like, making out with it.
Well, no, because the thing is it possible, do you think?
If you get a hard-on from seeing my feet,
the difference between
them.
Appreciation and fetish is all in the eye of the beholder.
Really?
Oh, totally. Think about it. Think about how much men and women think about sex.
Yeah.
If you were in a different culture where it wasn't about sex, it was more about, you know, just kissing.
Yeah.
That could...
What you're saying, though, is that it's up to other people to decide whether or not I have a fetish. Like,
yeah.
'Cause here's the thing.
It's up to you,
no, you
what
said,
you like.
Okay, so not the beholder, but the... No, it's not the beholder.
Yeah.
Because what I mean to say is this. If you're sitting on my couch, not wearing socks...
Mm-hmm.
And I reach out and touch your feet,
mm-hmm.
because I like to touch feet,
mm-hmm.
someone will say, oh, what's wrong with you? You have a foot fetish or something?
My first reaction would be, you gonna massage that?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's the point.
You're like, okay, rub my feet.
But at what point does...
It depends on how you flip it.
So, but the thing is, if someone looks at you and says, oh, you've got a foot fetish, does that make...
Really?
I wonder. I don't know.
I wish you were recording that.
I like to record conversations just for no other reasons other than, like, I'll give you an example. And I always, my hero and mentor is Kevin Smith.
I thought it was Kyle.
Kyle is my man crush. Look at that belly. Look at that swollen, hairy belly.
There's nothing sexy about that.
You're too sexy for your shirt, Kyle.
A little bit. My stomach thinks it is.
Yeah. Your shirt's like, okay, I guess
I'll go. So, Kevin Smith. He says that what he's done is his mom is like, she's really old or whatever. But anyways, he says that he's recorded like hours and hours of conversations with his mom just because he figures one day she's just not going to be around, you know? So
you're recording these so that when we die you can remember
us? No, not at all. Not at all.
So historians will find us.
Yeah, that's when the alien archaeologists come in and observe our remains of our society. They'll think we're gods. You know
what I always think is funny is when people are like, oh my god, intelligent life, they're not going to understand English. And they're like, are you kidding me? You know how hard it is to decipher English into a language?
Mm-hmm.
Not that hard.
Well,
there's like lots of other languages.
That's assuming they speak any kind of language at all. Their language, their form of communication couldn't be written. Could be
true.
It could be
mental.
Mental, it could be pheromonal. It could be pheromonal. It could be tactile. They may talk by touching their hands on your face.
Like, you know, cats don't talk to each other? They don't meow at each other?
No.
They only meow at people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I fucked up really bad early on.
Ready?
That's what always happens to me.
Yeah.
I'm too scared. I'm not focusing on anything. Play. Nope. Never mind.
No.
Yeah.
I have no fucking wood, man.
I have wood. I don't need to do anything. I'll pay for it.
But, like, bees communicate by walking in patterns, you know? They do the jitterbug.
Yeah, oh, the bee thing is so cool.
Jitterbug.
They shake their butts.
Just like humans. That's how we communicate.
And it tells them how to, like, find the honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what's really interesting. Do you know nuclear facilities?
I know all of them.
The danger with nuclear facilities is if there's ever... a situation where the containment is breached or compromised and it's leaking radiation or if there's ever a point where the radiation becomes unstable and it's dangerous to be around it, because of the nuclear half-life, because it takes a tremendous amount of time
for it to
dissipate, yeah, their concern is, how do we put a warning on this facility, on this building? How do we put a warning that 1,000 years from now, people will understand this means stay away, this is dangerous?
Yeah.
You can't write it in words. You know, even a pictogram doesn't really do it, because
it only works if they understand the context.
Like, exactly.
You couldn't show,
even if you put
snow to say something's cold,
yeah,
if someone's never seen snow,
even,
or fire to say something's hot.
Exactly.
Even
if you fire will probably be the best way to do it, but like right now the symbol for radioactive is that weird triangle.
Yeah, which we all understand.
Because we've been told what it means.
Yeah.
But if, you know, 500 years from now, if some new society, like our descendants,
died,
yeah, and like it's post-apocalyptic wasteland, someone finds a building and it's got that symbol on it, there's no way for them to know to stay away. So they're
assuming all forms of past communication for the last.
Well, I mean, think about it. Think about like the new generations that are born in this world. We'll have no concept of what the world used to be like.
But people like to study the past.
Oh,
people like to study the past.
But all of our records are electronic now. You know?
No, they're not all electronic right now.
Right now, if you look at Wikipedia, and it's the collection of all our knowledge, or even the internet itself, all the answers are there. And if you look at an encyclopedia, when was the last time an encyclopedia was even printed?
You know what, they probably still are printing them.
Sure.
It's just that they're not as widely available as they
used
to be.
So again, imagine how difficult it's going to be for a society. Like, even in Walking Dead time, if you watch Walking Dead, if they wanted to teach their kids history or geography or whatever, it would be so much more difficult for them to, first of all, find appropriate learning material,
mm-hmm.
and second, find stuff that's still relevant. Because, I mean, if you find books, people don't make books anymore. I mean, they make books, but not to the extent that they used to. So you're going to find a book that was made in the 70s. You know, so if you can't get an encyclopedia from the 70s, as opposed to one that you can find on the internet, all of their, even if they do study the past, it's all going to be outdated and outmoded more than anything. All right.
Either that, or it's going to be.
It might
like
be
fiction-based historical information.
Yeah.
Because we made a lot.
What if they find only fiction books and read those? You know who Terry Turtledove is? Terry Turtledove is a author of historical fiction. And what he does is he takes real-life situations and writes stories that takes place during those time periods.
Mm.
And he also writes alternate history about, like, historical periods. What would have happened if something were different? Like, if Paul Revere didn't get the signal across, the British would have wiped out the Minutemen. And then America would be completely different today, right? Mm. So if they find those books, can you imagine?
I'd be so confused. Wait, which one of these is true?
But now
you can Google that shit.
Now here's the thing. Who's to say that hasn't already happened? Who's to say that when people found the Bible, written in Greek and Aramaic and Latin, first of all, the translation, have you seen that video with Will Smith, well, not Will Smith, but it's a video about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They take the lyrics to in West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Oh, yeah, and then they translate it back again.
Back and forth, back and forth,
Google?
Back and forth.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
There's
as
no,
far as I'm concerned, the Bible is something that people use as a crutch when they don't know how to deal with reality.
Well,
it just gives you
answers for things that are unanswerable.
Exactly. And
I did let you finish.
Let me
finish. You
said,
finish. I want three.
No, you gave me three.
Yeah.
You don't know all the answers. If you think you do, that's a problem.
I think some of the questions they're asking are just ridiculous, though.
No, but why would you ever expect to know what the meaning of life is?
Yeah, it's
like,
well,
that is so self-centered.
I don't happen to think there is a meaning. Like, I think people,
yeah.
the idea that there is a purpose for everything is so arrogant, I think.
And you know what kills me? Is
tell me.
People that are like, wait a second, so you don't think there's a meaning to life? Well, that's just depressing. I'm like, no, it's called reality check.
Yeah.
So now that I know that there isn't a meaning to life, or that's what I feel like, I believe,
uh-huh.
now I can move on with living in the present,
yes.
here and now, and stop looking at the past, and stop looking at the future, and be happy.
I think
now.
What happens is people think there needs to be a purpose to what they're doing.
Yeah,
like an ultimate
it
goal.
Gets rid of that uncomfortable feeling.
But what people fail to realize is that we are animals. We live in an ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
right? And there are every animal in an ecosystem has its purpose.
Yeah.
You know?
We have way pushed the boundaries of our purpose.
For sure, but that's what people are forgetting.
Yeah.
You know, some animals exist solely to be food for other animals.
Yeah. Our meaning of life was whatever it was back 100,000 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it could
whatever
have been.
Whatever happened since then is not our
look at it this way, look at it this way. If a tree grows, right? And if the tree grows without someone, some tree dweller, living in the tree, eating what grows from the tree, then it's going to continue to grow until it spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads.
And
so,
then it takes over.
Exactly, it takes over the entire biosphere. So there is an animal now whose job it is to sit on that tree and eat from that tree.
So,
to control the spread.
Population.
Exactly,
and
right?
There's another one to kill that bug so that it doesn't kill
yeah.
to eat that bug.
So,
it doesn't
look
kill
at this.
The tree.
So, let's say there's bananas. A banana tree, if left unchecked, will spread and spread and spread until bananas cover the entire forest. So, now all of a sudden, well, there's these primates who live in the trees and eat the bananas and stop it from spreading.
Mm-hmm.
Because they eat just enough to keep the tree alive, but to keep it from spreading.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps it in check. And then there are tigers and jaguars that eat those monkeys. Now, here's the thing. One day, this monkey gets off of the tree, and he's walking on the ground now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's bored or curious, or he was born with something wrong with his brain, much in the same way that there are people today.
He turned into a human.
He turned into a human. He's just... There are people who have different brain chemistries than the standard deviation.
Yeah.
Right? And that just happens.
Urges to do different things.
That's how sociopaths and murderers and rapists exist, just because their brains are different than ours, or from
mm-hmm.
normal people's. So here's a monkey who decides he's going
to
drop out of the tree just to see what's up. And now he's on the ground. So look, so the monkey drops down the ground, and everyone says, monkey see, monkey do, right? So the other monkeys just drop down on the ground and chase him. Now they still go up to the tree to eat the bananas to stop the banana tree from spreading, but now they spend some of their time on the ground. But here's the thing. Like I said, the jaguars and the tigers eat the monkeys, right? So because they're on the ground now, and the grass is so high, they can't see the jaguar. It's like the raptors in Jurassic Park 2. Remember, Kyle?
Oh, yeah, you couldn't see them.
Yeah,
the
and they
so high.
Yeah, and so they jump and they kill you. So here's the thing. Some of these monkeys are going to get eaten, and those monkeys are not going to be able to pass their genes on to their children. There's not going to be any further monkeys from that line. But some of the monkeys who are on the ground decide, hey, if I stand up on my back legs instead of my four legs, I can see over the grass, and I can see when the tigers and the jaguars are coming, and I can know when they're coming and avoid them. So the monkeys that learn to stand on the back legs are the ones who don't get eaten because they can see them, and they survive, and they're the ones who make the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
But the monkeys who are too dumb to stand on their hind legs are the ones who get eaten, and
the
they die.
It's natural selection.
Exactly.
What was the philosopher's name who came up
it
with that?
It was Darwin.
Natural,
so,
natural
yeah.
selection.
So now
oh, yeah, he wrote
yeah.
a book called...
The,
or,
yeah, the origin of the species. So there's that monkey. Now he's standing on his legs. He realizes this is beneficial to me because now I can see and avoid the tigers. So not only that, but his progeny, his children, are born and they learn the same thing. So you got a bunch of monkeys who are jumping down from the trees, walking around on the ground, and not only that, but walking around with two legs. Now that they're walking with two legs instead of four, they realize these two hands that I was using to walk, I can use them for all kinds of things.
Yep.
I use them to scratch my butt. I use them for jacking off.
Jack it off is the first thing that came
yeah,
to
yeah, definitely. Or I can use them to take this stick and whack that tiger in the face next time he comes. Right? So now they're using tools. Now, the thing, here's the weird thing. Just like any muscle, if you exercise your brain, it's going to grow.
Yep.
So the fact that now they're learning to walk, they're learning strategy, they're learning to run and hide, they're learning to pick up tools and rocks, use that twig to get the termites out of the hill like a spoon. Those that all that activity is causing their brains
you're
to grow.
You're getting all that from Transformers Beast Wars.
That's where everyone gets their knowledge.
Yeah, man.
YTV
taught me everything. So now we get to the point where their brains are growing. Now here's the troubling part. This is why religion exists. Are you ready for it? This is why religion exists. Because our brains are now so much bigger than they used to be. The uterine, the birth canal, cannot support passing through a fully developed brain of that size.
Right.
So.
I'd be really pissed if it had to.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So primates, because their brains are so big in comparison to other animals, have to be born at an earlier stage of development than any other mammal.
Right.
When a horse is born, he can walk right away. He can eat right away. He knows what's up. Same with a zebra, a deer, even cats.
To an extent, cats are actually born blind.
Well, kittens, like, yeah, kittens are different. Mice are the same, too, but But that's, again, cats are smarter than most animals, right?
Yeah.
So the smarter the animal it is, the earlier it has to be born in the developmental stage, because the head has to pass through the vaginal canal.
Right.
Right? So that's the reason why babies are completely useless compared to
other animals that are born. Functional.
Exactly. They're born immediately because they don't have that same burden. Their brains are fully developed by the time they're born because their heads are different and not as huge as a friggin' newborn baby. So now all of a sudden, in order for the species to propagate, you have to spend the first year of this baby's life taking care of it because it can't take care of itself.
Yeah.
So, if you're spending all your time taking care of this baby, all the other shit that you need to do cannot be done.
Yeah.
So what do? They get all of the babies, put them in one place, and get a few people whose job it is to take care of them,
and everybody else does
the shit they need to do. This is how society begins.
Yeah.
Right? Society begins because we got to take care of the babies. This is why primates start to cooperate and form herds rather than being solitary. So now that the society begins, now that we're living together, there has to be an order among things.
Yeah.
Hierarchy comes in, right? So, again, now that you're socializing, now that you're planning hunter-gathering and nurturing children, again, this is more exercise for the brain, which causes it to grow even more, which causes them to become more and more sophisticated. The smarter you become, the more curious you become, to the point where now you're asking yourself, okay, I know this is what our life is about. I know that every morning I got to feed the baby. I know I got to feed myself, got to protect myself from the tigers, got to make the sticks sharp so that they wouldn't fight them. I know we got to do that. Otherwise, we're all dead and we can't keep going. Why do we have to do that?
Yeah.
Right? So that's when they start asking why. And that's when someone needs to come up with the answer.
And that's someone who's the, you know, A-type dominant personality of the group that's I want to keep being in charge.
I'll tell them the answer.
I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll tell them what to do.
I'll tell them the answer.
And make them feel like, here's the answer.
Exactly.
And
so,
it's going to support me.
Exactly. So this is what happens. They go, you know what happened? A bolt of lightning hit our treehouse and set the thing on fire. Holy shit, everyone freaked out. We ran out of the tree and our shit is dead. Now we got to move to a new tree. And I was like, fuck, what the hell just happened? And you're right, the guy who doesn't want to do anything says, you know what? Because you didn't give me that banana yesterday, the guy in the sky who makes the thunder was mad at you for not sharing, and he threw that thunderbolt and hit us. You better give me those bananas, otherwise
there'll be another thunderbolt.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or it may be that, I control, you know, and I'll get
and
you, you'll
exactly.
see.
Exactly, so you better do what I say.
And that is exactly why I think religion is bullshit.
I agree. But the only reason it exists is because some fucking monkey decided to drop down onto the ground instead of staying in his tree.
Yep.
So the purpose of life, the meaning of life, is to still eat the bananas in that tree so they don't spread. That's the reason we're here.
Yeah. Not all this other shit.
Yeah.
But
that's the reason why we're here.
And don't get me wrong, I think that people that have a heart for religion have it kind of forced upon them.
It's like smoking.
You know, bred in almost. Mm-hmm. Like you need it after a while because I went to a Catholic school for years.
Me too.
And I still look for religions that I can relate to in terms of purpose.
Yeah.
But not in terms of all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can't bring myself to have the same sort of just that overwhelming feeling that everyone else gets from it.
I kind of feel like there's something wrong with me. I feel like at certain times, I wish that I was able to believe that stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like
like you're missing out.
I feel like I would be so much happier and so much content if I could just shut off the part of my brain that says, no, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's kind of that ignorance is bliss.
If ignorance is bliss, I'm a fucking genius.
Yeah, seriously.
You know,
every time I feel depressed, it's like, oh, I'm getting smarter.
I must be a fucking genius.
So Kyle, if you had a band, what would your band's name be? Like, what kind of music would you play? And what would the band be?
Top four, like stuff that would just get me money. Like, I wouldn't even care.
You'd be
boy
a band? Cover
band.
I would just be a sellout. I'd be
like
I'd
One
be
Direction.
Pop. I'd be top 40.
And what would the band be called? Would you be like a boy band or an instrument band or? You're just a singer.
It'd just
like,
be me. I'd be like Justin. Andros? I'd be a Justin Timberlake.
Ah, I see you as Justin Timberlake. As a matter of fact,
I would be a Justin Timberlake.
And so you wouldn't have a name. You'd just be Kyle Hutchinson. K-Hutch.
Your cards.
That'd probably be something lame like that.
How about you, Kelly? Would you be in like a fem rock band, like Joan Jett or Heart?
Yeah, totally like a Joan Jett.
The Run,
band.
The Runaways.
Yeah, that would be right.
Is this one shuffle?
Never be by on my own. I never really can till I met you.
My hips.
That's
hurt.
Heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
like,
what
you
I said.
Said Joan Jett.
I said or Heart.
Oh, I messed up.
And it chills me to the bone.
I
sang it to a girl and she said, oh, I love Celine Dion. And I'm like, see you.
You're like, oh,
and over.
So, okay, back to Catholic school that you're talking about. This is really super interesting, and I'm glad you mentioned this, because, okay, these people, religion, look for the answers. They got to tell me what is it that I'm doing. Did you do a confirmation in Catholic school?
I did First Communion.
Uh-huh.
Confirmation was voluntary.
Yes.
I chose not to.
Holy shit. Up top. High five.
I was like, no.
I was the only kid in my class who didn't confirm.
Nice. Good for you.
And the reason was because this was the way that the priest explained it. He goes, your parents baptize you. You go through the First Communion when you're 8 years old. Confirmation is when you're 13, you're 12 to 13. It's like bar mitzvah age.
Mm-hmm.
You're going up in front of your community and you're saying you are making a decision that to follow the rest of your life with these values and with
mm-hmm.
these beliefs, you're going to stand before everyone and you're going to confirm that this is what you believe. Now, I couldn't do it because I didn't believe it. And I thought to myself, if I go up and do that, that's telling a lie.
Yeah.
And I said, I asked, what if you don't believe it? And like the other kids in my class couldn't understand the question. They're like,
yeah, it was just, they just didn't understand that it was okay to question.
They didn't even understand that it was possible for people to not believe it. They're like, what do you mean you don't believe it? I'm like, well, what if there wasn't really... Like, what I would always say was, this is my big thing, and it says so much about my relationship with women. What caused me to doubt Christianity, Catholicism in particular...
You're still referring.
Yeah. Was the idea of virgin birth.
Yeah.
If you keep banging the thing, it's going to...
In my head, the first thing I thought...
Bullshit.
She just went and got knocked up and didn't want to tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So she came up with this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, she's going to get married to some dude and she's pregnant.
And, okay, which came first? Was it that the angel came to her fiancé and said she's pregnant?
No, the angel came to Mary.
But an angel also came to her hubby, I can't remember his name.
Joseph,
and said, yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, you just had a dream that made you feel better.
Yeah.
you were grasping for answers.
Yeah, you were desperate to have it verified, right? But the idea, and again, this is just such a lack of trust in my childish brain, was that no, she wasn't, you know, it wasn't an immaculate conception. It was a chick who couldn't own up to the fact that she went and got knocked up. I feel like people are going to hate me for this. And then created the story like, no.
They're all parables. They even say it right in the Bible. They are parables.
Mm-hmm.
They're all meant to be stories. So either your choice is to believe this story as the truth,
yeah,
in which case you're in one type of religion camp, or to believe only parts of it as truth and other parts of it as parables, and then you're in another camp. Like, there's all these different ways.
The reason why
to...
it gets mucky, though, is because there are real historical records of these people existing. Right? But again, it's what we talked about, Harry Turtledove making... Look, watch the movie Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor has Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett, playing fictional characters who interact with real people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their base commander, Alec Baldwin, is Jimmy Doolittle, who was a real World War II United States Army Air Force captain. And he led a raid against the Japanese military and industrial infrastructure and destroyed a shit ton of... before the Nagasaki bombing, they destroyed all their factories. That was a dude who flew, and Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett fly with him and talk to him. And Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character, Dory Miller, was also a real person. And obviously, FDR was a real person. And
mm-hmm.
And so you've got a historical... look at Titanic. Titanic has got real people.
Yeah.
It's got Molly Brown's in it, and the freaking... the first and second officer, and the captain. They're all real people talking to Jack and Rose, who didn't exist. So imagine 500 years from now, people are looking at the history of the Titanic, and they're like, one of the greatest stories of the Titanic was this, you know, love story of these two people.
Yeah.
They're going to mix up the fiction with the truth. And so that's the thing. Because the Bible, like you say, is parables... There are morality tales. There are stories that teach you about right and wrong. But we're in a sticky situation where Pontius Pilate was a real person. Yeah. King Herod was a real person. King David was a real person. Jesus was a real person. Mary was a real person because even the Quran says Mary gave birth, virgin birth, to this guy. The Quran doesn't say Jesus is God. The Quran says Jesus is a prophet like Muhammad, but they say that he was born of a virgin mom, just like Anakin Skywalker. Right?
Yep.
But that's what's going to happen. In 100 years from now, they're going to see Star Wars, and they're going to be like, holy shit, this virgin birth, this guy's the Messiah. He was the chosen one, but he fell to darkness. But then he was redeemed. That's a fucking religion right there, man.
Yeah.
I actually had a person who put Star Wars and based it off of religion. It's like, you got Luke Skywalker who's wearing white, Darth Vader who's black, and it's like, the good and the evil.
Yeah.
You know, because Jesus wore white and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The fuck?
It's, and I mean, Darth Vader was...
My brain.
Darth Vader died... And rose again. 3 days later, he was resurrected.
As a robot man.
Yeah, but see, that's
sort of Jesus. Jesus was just
he's a cyborg. Jesus. Cyborg Jesus.
He was zombie Jesus.
Jesus was the first zombie.
He was.
So yeah, so it's
who can die and come back.
But the idea is to even suggest that it may not be true. People take such offense to that.
Oh, I know. It's. Have you seen Religious?
No.
Oh my god.
Have you never seen that?
No.
You have to watch it.
Watch it.
He goes around asking people these kind of straight up questions that definitely challenge their faith.
Yeah.
And they cannot answer them and they get so upset.
Really?
So upset. And I'm like, do you not understand that if you can't explain something, you need to admit it?
Yeah.
And then you can release all that anger and say, you know what, that's something I don't know, and, you know, maybe I should question what's going on, and maybe I shouldn't force other people to try and believe what I'm believing.
The problem is, though, here's the big problem, I think, because I talked to my mom. My mom really wants me to get involved in her church, and I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But the thing is this.
I like the idea of community around church. Like, people that go to church seem to have a lot of really strong social relationships.
With the people that are in the community.
Yeah.
But it's almost exclusionary. It's almost like...
Yeah, like, who cares?
Yeah. And, yeah, so that's weird. So then, anyways, so what was I saying? You were talking about religious...
Yeah, religious and just people getting upset and defending their religion.
It's not even, but that's the thing, you shouldn't even defend. I think the problem is this. The problem is that for the people who believe that the answers to life are inside of this book, the book was written in such a way that it's so self-referential. Mm-hmm. So anytime that there's a... So you turn to the book to get the answer, right? But then if there's a question you can't answer, that's... there's all... It's like... so basically they'll say... The Bible says that a human can't understand the will of God.
Right.
Because God is so much bigger than us that his decisions, his thoughts, and his actions won't make sense to you. It's like an ant can't make sense of what you're thinking. You can't hope to understand what God is thinking. Now, just by having that in the book negates any argument you may have against the teachings of the book. If there's something that you don't understand or something that contradicts itself, something that has no answer or just plain doesn't make sense... Well, the answer is that we can't understand God's will.
Yeah, and yet somehow the writers knew to write that, and that's what God was trying to say.
They're covering their own bases.
Yeah,
it's self-referential. It's like trying to define a word using the word
itself
that you're defining. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is not how you define something.
Exactly, and it's not how you should live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the answer to your life, you know. So that's
too funny.
Yeah, it's not good. This is a spirited conversation, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'm playing your game this time. It's like I got a little mishmash.
Yeah. All
right.
All right. Battles. Kyle and I tie. We both keep Kelly.
Yeah.
Gross. Shit. Oh, did you go through that? Oh, no, you didn't build
it. No, I didn't build it.
I don't believe that there is. I'm atheist. I don't believe that anything goes on for forever. I believe in science, and I believe that there's so much going on with science right now that we are learning. Even just the stuff about black holes that's gone on in the last, month, some of the discoveries.
Exactly.
It's mind-blowing.
Well, we have a telescoping nature when it comes to scientific discovery. Like, the amount of time that it took to go from making fire to making electricity versus the amount of time they went from making electricity to making the internet,
mm-hmm.
it shrinks, it gets
and
smaller and smaller.
And it's just
going to
keep smaller. Getting
smaller
exactly.
and smaller. Exactly,
telescopic. Yeah.
Exactly, so it's a telescoping. So it's going to, if you follow that model, I don't know how strong this logic is, but if you follow the model that scientific advances take less and less time,
as time goes on,
then it stands to reason that we will eventually reach a singularity where advancement is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you can make a machine or machines that when you...
It's artificial intelligence,
yeah,
really,
but
is what you're saying.
But when you think of what you want to make...
It's instantaneously achievable.
It'll make it for you, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the nature... That's if we follow that model of telescoping advancement.
Yeah.
I don't think that's logical at all, but...
It's hard to imagine us getting there, but I think artificial intelligence that can take our creative... Because the thing that makes us creative is that we're able to connect to things that would normally be connected
so
by, a computer.
Okay. You're all making it. You're getting me so excited right now. So I think it's time to retire the phrase artificial intelligence. We need to start referring to synthetic intelligence because...
Mm.
It's going to be a point where right now, these games that you're playing, Kyle, the characters in the game have artificial intelligence. They're designed to mimic decision-making capabilities, but they don't make decisions.
Right?
They're programmed to act certain parameters. But when you when we reach a singularity, when you finally create a creature or an algorithm, whatever it is, that can actually think, feel, decide... You know, anticipate.
Yeah, what was that movie that we watched where he's dating the OS?
Her.
Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Okay, no, you have to watch it because it's saying everything that you're saying, and it just showed how
it's real.
What happens when you give a computer emotions.
Yeah,
and I don't want to ruin it for you, but
I don't think it can be ruined. But the idea is that it'll get to the point where it's no longer mimicking, it's no longer acting the way you want it to, but it's going to have its own initiative.
It's learning on its own.
It's going to learn. It's going to be a true intelligence. It just won't be organic.
You know what I said was going to happen?
What's that?
It's going to be the 3D printers that are going to come self-aware, and they're just going to self-produce themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the 3D printer is definitely... As soon as you couple that with, and then it's going to turn into the Matrix.
That's Skynet. That's the Terminators.
There's 3D printers that can print 3D printers.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, seriously.
With all the mechanisms and
stuff. They're only $200.
That is amazing.
Was it you that was telling me that there's going to be 3D printers that will build houses?
Yeah, it can print a house
in
a week. Entire house. So it's fuck.
So I'm like, okay,
they're already
so...
printing organs. Like, they're practicing, and I think they actually implanted the first 3D printed organ already. I think it's already happened.
I'm amazed by this. We live in the future.
Yeah, totally.
We live in the future. And the future is now.
The future is
now. And now. Well, actually, now we're in the present. No, it's gone.
No, but what I mean to say, when I say we live in the future, I mean that the time where people would look forward and go, holy crap, it's going to be so awesome to live then.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's where we are.
Well, and even now, we're talking about... The future of technology and how everyone's talking right now about wearable devices and how that's going to be the next generation of devices. It's already happening. What do I have on my wrist?
I don't know.
It's a wearable device. It's a Fitbit. It tracks all my movements.
Oh, nice.
It tracks my sleep patterns.
Yeah, Fitbits
it tracks
are great.
What I eat. It tracks everything.
Just put a chip inside you.
Yeah, it's very close. And then there's Google Glasses.
Yeah.
Wearable devices. I mean, they're getting there already. And I mean, there's probably a bunch of patented
on you the whole
stuff
time.
that hasn't been able to get to market yet.
Yeah, definitely.
That once those expire, it is going to be a huge influx.
I think that. So I'm just going to get. My dad is so crazy. My dad believes in the prophetic nature of science fiction. He believes that the Illuminati are in control of the media, and bit by bit they are releasing science fiction movies and games and
TV shows because he wants us to be prepared for these technological advances and have a context for them, because if they just show up one day, it will be, our minds will be blown.
If the internet didn't exist, that might be plausible.
No,
this but is, the internet exists, this is not, so it's no, not plausible anymore.
No, what I'm trying to say is that he's putting the cart behind the horse. He doesn't realize that scientists are inspired by science fiction,
yeah,
and see those impossibilities and strive to make them work.
Well, and scientists,
Star Trek didn't predict anything.
No, they took what they thought would make their lives easier.
They took things that were impossible at the time.
That wasn't possible at the
because
time.
They were telling a story about a future where things that are impossible today would be possible.
But they were also looking at how can I make life easier.
Of course, of course.
That's the purpose of
things that we would love to have that we don't, right? Now, Star Trek didn't predict anything.
No.
People who were scientifically inclined, who watched Star Trek, thought, it's like, it's that, I think it's, who the fuck said it? Mark Twain? Or it's people look at the world and say, and ask why. I look at the world and ask why not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the people who see those things and say, why, let's fucking strive to make
yeah.
that happen.
Mm.
It's not that the fucking writers are Nostradamus and they're predicting what the future is going to be like.
Yeah.
Our scientists see science fiction and fuck, let's make that thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, because of that, we're getting, like you said, Google Glasses and all that. But just to throw a little bit of science fiction at you. Kyle, you've seen Mass Effect, right? Mass Effect, they everything is, all of their interfaces for their computers are
mm-hmm.
holographic. There's
okay.
no actual physical keyboards.
Those already somewhat exist. Did I ever show you the video?
Yeah, I've seen
yeah.
the light board.
The
right?
light board.
No,
yeah.
No. I'm talking about like you know like the fucking like Iron Man thing.
Yeah.
Where it's
volumetric
projecting up.
Display. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy who's already made that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah it does
like,
exist.
So I understand,
yeah.
but this is what I'm saying. So in the world of Mass Effect, you're sitting at a keyboard, and there's the keyboard in front of you, and it's hologram, so there's nothing physical for you to touch,
mm-hmm.
right? So what they did was you would have gloves on your hand that have receptors in the fingers
mm-hmm.
that offer feedback, like...
So it's as if you're touching
something. It's haptic feedback, so that when the receptor touches that light, it gives
it
the...
It feels as if you've touched something.
Yeah,
it
feels
yeah.
like you've touched something, but it also registers on the keyboard. It registers
right.
in the interface.
Right.
If people are computer jockeys, if your job is to be that guy at the computer terminal, some people in this society have implants put under their skin and the fingers so they don't
so
need
can
those
do
gloves.
It all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, that's fucking crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even at that point in time, it's the type of thing that's just catching on. It's like a niche thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they predict that within the next 10 years, everyone's going to be doing it, right?
You know what'll be interesting? Once we get to the point where implanting technology in your body becomes the norm,
yeah.
it'll be interesting to see how our next generation is born and what sort of genetic anomalies start coming
up. It'll be the type of thing that how soon into someone's life do you throw
you start
it?
To implant
yeah.
into them?
Or do you even do it in vitro?
But and think about it, though. You can modify what's happening within your genes
yeah,
now, which then affects your child,
yeah.
right?
Well, aren't they already implanting kids with, like, kid trackers? Like,
yeah.
it's like fucking GPSs?
Yeah, absolutely. And so it makes me wonder, like, what are we doing to our genetic makeup over time that's going to,
I don't
like,
think that it's going to affect your DNA by... I mean...
Everything affects you. Everything.
No, but what I mean to say is, like if you get a tattoo, that's not going to pass down to the kid.
No,
scar,
no, I'm not saying if you were going to, you know, be born with technology.
Yeah, yeah.
But it makes me wonder what the... Like, okay, for example, our
if we have,
appendix.
If
we don't need our appendix
yeah,
anymore
definitely.
Because of certain things that have happened over time.
I think what might affect the DNA is if you have implants in your body that are running off of some kind of power source,
mm-hmm.
that's going to have an effect on... It would be like sitting on a microwave. You know, they talk about radiation changing your genetics.
Which, there's no radiation coming out of a microwave.
But you know what I mean, right? Like,
it just annoys me when people are like, ooh, there's microwaves. I'm like, yeah, they're micro.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
but,
it.
They're not going to kill me.
But like,
shut up.
But like I say, like, so very much in the same way that there's that idea that, you know, you get, like, the fish that are around the nuclear power plant get mutated.
Yeah.
If you've got this stuff inside of your body... that's running off some kind of power source,
mm-hmm.
then that might have an effect on a fetus or
mm-hmm.
the development of your own body mm-hmm. or the next generation.
But even just having something like implanted under your fingertips so that when you are touching technology...
You're interfacing.
It's actually interacting with your skin, your
yeah.
body, which changes the necessity for things like fingerprints and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, even if you remove the power source altogether, there's still, like, putting things in your body will eventually affect what your body perceives as needed.
Yeah.
It's just evolution.
I don't think so, because people still are born with foreskins, you know, like...
And we've been cutting those off for years.
Yeah.
For right. thousands of years.
Yeah, literally thousands of years.
But, I mean, it only takes a little bit of time. And, I mean, a little bit of time, as in, you know, a couple thousand years.
Yeah.
And shit might start changing.
Yeah.
I don't need
because we're already running out of gingers.
Yeah.
Get rid of my ass.
And they've figured out that people with red hair and freckles, like
they're
gingers.
They're gonna be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, it's a genetic anomaly.
Yeah.
And
same
it's,
with blue eyes.
Yeah, blue eyes too. Yeah, there's a couple things that they figured out. They're like,
did you know
oh,
that
shit.
Everybody who has blue eyes is technically related?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
isn't
it
that
all originated
up?
From one mutation of one person.
Yeah.
Well, everyone is related, right?
Him
yeah,
and my
know,
mom
but,
are related.
Yeah, but it all started from the one particular
which means
person.
Kyle
who
and I are related.
Yeah, no, like...
Sweet, sweet
yeah.
incest.
It was a weird mutation that happened with one person, and... Everybody who's gotten blue eyes is all.
So, Kelly, your mom has blue eyes, but you have brown eyes?
Because your dad has brown
yeah,
eyes.
It's the,
my dad's eye has brown eyes.
It's because the blue is the recessive gene, and that's the one that'll get eaten by the brown. You can't have hair lighter than the darkest grandparent.
What?
Your hair can't be lighter than the darkest hair of than the grandparent who has the darkest hair.
So you can't have blonde hair if all four of your grandparents have brown hair.
Or even if your grandparents, one of them has blonde hair,
mm-hmm.
your hair can't be a lighter shade of blonde than the darkest
of
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But like, my grandmother has really light hair.
So your hair can't be lighter than that.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying
I
to say. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that.
So yeah, so what'll happen if you have kids, then you'll look at your two parents,
mm-hmm.
her two parents,
mm-hmm.
whoever has the lightest hair, that'll be that's as light as it can go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad because my mom's hair is pretty light. And...
Yeah, so we might have some blonde kids. I don't know. The Griffin gene in my side is just insanely powerful. Like every
Griffin?
Single person who is mated with a Griffin.
Mated. You're like the fucking Baratheons.
Who?
The Baratheons, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
The seed is strong.
Oh. Yeah. They've ended up with either Griffin eyes or Griffin nose. Like, you can't get away from it, and all of us have, like, it blows
you know
my
what we
mind.
Need? We need your eyes, but my eye color. That'll work.
Why? What's wrong with your eyes? I think I have tiny eyes.
Yeah, that's fine.
No. The eyes are sexy. The bigger the eyes, the prettier. That's what I think.
Sure.
That's my perception.
Sure. That's why a lot of people like Asian people. That sounds racist,
I
I'm sure.
Like, Asian people don't have big eyes.
I know, but
that's
just a lot of people
of
like
saying.
Asian people. Mind you, then they draw anime and their eyes are all huge.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's
I don't know if any of that is actually valuable to say.
But yeah,
I probably
that's
just
why,
dug myself a racist hole.
You've seen, fuck, what is it? U.S. Shameless.
Yeah.
So Liam is black
mm-hmm.
because...
His great-grandmother.
No, Frank's grandma. Frank's mother banged...
No, it was his grandmother was black.
Frank's mother... Yeah, his grandmother banged a black guy.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So Frank's dad?
Yeah. No,
Frank's...
It was Liam's... It's kind
no,
of Liam's,
it was, Frank, it was Frank's great-grandfather.
No, it was
no?
Frank's... It was Liam's great-grandmother was the one who banged a black guy.
Okay.
So the great-grandfather
was
the black guy.
Because he didn't know who his dad was or something like that, but he had heard rumors that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
like
Frank's
yeah,
grandpa...
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
He had a relative that he didn't actually know if it was true or not, and then that just kind of sealed it.
Yeah.
I never really cared until I met you. And now it chills me to the bone. Till I never get by on my own.
Always get by on my own.
I never really cared until I met you.
Kelly's such a merchant.
And now it chills me to the bone. I didn't get you alone.
Alone!
I didn't
why your brother died.
Yeah, I'll do it.
That was one. You get two more plays.
Oh, fuck. I'm gonna lose. I really fucked myself over here.
Yeah, I kind of wish I played a different card.
So, war.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Kyle's got 3, 2, and 1. I got 3, 2, and 1. We tie again, Kyle.
I'm gonna play that one for free.
We tie again into war, but we both beat Kelly.
No, we still tie, Josh. God damn it.
Yeah, so you don't get anything for purple, but it gets added to your green, is what it is.
Yeah. It doesn't matter which one I put it in. Either I get 0 for green, because anyways, I got 37, so...
37?!
I lost very badly.
Did you add your coins?
Yeah.
Alright, so 9. Okay, so you gotta help me with the math here. So this is 9.
That's also 9.
That's 18.
And that's 4.
22.
And then match sets of 3 is
7.
Two match sets of 3 you have only.
So that's another 14.
Match set of 3 is worth 7?
Yeah.
So a pair is 4, right?
So 7 victory point, yeah. 4, 9.
Okay, this is worth 9, that's worth 9, that's
so
worth 4.
18, 19, 20, 22.
That's worth 7, that's worth 7.
So 22 plus 14.
It's
39.
Holy
36. Fuck. 36. The cop killed us.
Considering I got almost your score just in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
52.
I got beat so bad.
Alright, so let's see. For me, war gave me 9.
Well, it helps when you can get free cards to play.
Coins.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Okay, wait, don't take your guys out. I need to count what you guys did. Because
oh,
I'm
sorry.
Alright, so let's see. So coins, I've got 1, 2, 3 for wonder.
Well, did you not already get your?
No. I got
for this only applies to you.
Yeah. No, for coins, I get 1, 2, 3. For building, I got 3 only.
Yeah.
And then for blue, I got 8, 10, 17. For yellow, I got 1 for each stage. So 1, 2. For purple, I get 1 for each stage that everyone builds.
Yeah, and I had all 3.
So you
had
3, 6, 7, 8.
That's pretty good.
And for green, I get 1. Nothing. Okay. So let's see. 9 and 3 is 12. Plus 3 is 15. Plus 17 is 32. Plus 2 is 34. Plus 8 is 42. Plus 1 is 43. Kyle whipped us.
Yeah.
Because of the free play.
Yes, yeah. That's what it was.
Well, and you used them well. You didn't use them on stupid shit, so.
Yeah. Well done, sir.
Alright, thoughts on dinner?
What's going on now? We gonna have pizza?
Yes,
pizza?
I'm gonna order some.
Yeah, pizza? Okay. Are you going to stay for pizza? Stay for pizza.
Yeah.
You've been here all day. You might as well make it a full day.
Yeah, right? Let's do this.